Acts 3 is where we're going to focus today. We've got a great story, a lot of encouragement coming your way through this little teaching here regarding Peter and John. Jesus has finished his ministry, so to speak, here on earth. He's gone back to be with his Father. He's left the Holy Spirit to continue the work, and the church is getting started out here. Peter and John are on an adventure, and they heal a lame beggar. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 3 here and following in this story. Peter's going to give a great sermon. And here it goes. It says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful." That's the name of the gate, Beautiful. "Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Verse 5. "So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.'" Verse 7. "Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong." Verse 8. "He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." Isn't that a cool vision of people being healed, people feeling better from this virus and all that's going on? Can you imagine? Verse 9, "When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit along begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." All right, we're going to look at verse 11 now, where Peter speaks to these people that are just blown away at what they see. It says, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade." It's another section of the temple there, Solomon's Colonnade. "When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?' Verse 13, 'The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you.'" Wow, Peter's really turning it on at this point. Verse 15, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this, and by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." Verse 17, "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Verse 20, "And that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" That's the end of our reading today from Acts chapter 3. Wow. Today's sermon title is "Breaking Agreements, Rise Up and Breathe the Free Air." I'm going to have a drink of water right here. Rise up and breathe the free air. Break agreements and get moving. I'm going to preach a good news report today because the gospel's good news. Amen? Whatever your story is, you know, whatever story you sink into your soul will navigate your life. And I want the gospel of Jesus to sink into your soul today. Acts chapter 3. A lot of people get stuck on the fact that we become fully aware of what we do not have. And the devil is quite proficient at reminding you of what you do not have. Thank God for the power of punctuation, because when Peter was speaking to the beggar, my bro Peter did not stop at the comma, okay? There is more to say after the comma. And I am blown away about this man that was healed by Peter, who was stuck at a gate of all places. Are you ready for this? The gate's name? Beautiful. Stuck at the gate called Beautiful. I don't know about you, but I'm in a place called Avalon, a gorgeous island called Catalina, and being basically indoors for a chunk of the day, or at least you know, having to do things that I normally would do, but I'm having to do them indoors. It's a beautiful place to be, but I feel stuck. And certainly many in our nation, maybe you, right where you are right now, you're feeling stuck. Look where the beggar is stuck, a gate called Beautiful. And I want to talk to you today about the beauty of being stuck. There's beauty in that. We were looking online recently at the airline tickets, and they are as dirt cheap as it gets right now. I saw a flight from like Charlotte to, what was it, North Carolina to Dallas, Texas for like $3.50, I think we saw. They're pretty cheap. I have my rules of flying, and I won't bore you with all of them, but I'll just give you one, okay? I try to do nonstop flights only. I'm not about that connection flight. If I can afford it, just take me from LAX to Orlando Airport where my family's at. Okay, I'm a nonstop ninja, man. The only problem with my rule is the reality, okay, that there's just some places in life that if you're going to go, you're going to have to stop and make a connection, all right? Track with me here. So the challenge for me is when my departing flight, all right, is late, and I've got to connect to another city. And when I get in that connecting city, I've got 1.5 minutes to get to my next gate, and add that to my connecting gate is like a gate number Z99. I've got like 1.5 minutes to get to the gate Z99. You talk about stress. It's stressful to travel, all right? It's crazy. And at this point, I've got three options to try to get off that plane and in 1.5 minutes, make it to that next gate. And I got option A, I can cancel my flight. That ain't going to happen. I can call from one of those cute little carts to come pick me up. And that ain't going to happen. I'm a grown man. I'm not going to ride in one of those. Or I could run as fast as my Chevrolet legs would let me, like Forrest Gump, through the airport to try to risk it. If you really want to test your faith, book a flight. If you want to test your spirit, man, fly Spirit Airlines. This is the most stressful time to be traveling right now, okay? Cheap? Yes. But the spirit is needed, my friends. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." We often forget that last one, self-control. It seems like the whole airport system is orchestrated for you to lose your self-control. Well, not really, but it sure feels that way sometimes, okay? And sometimes in life, you're going to need to stop and make a connection. Are you tracking with me? One day my family was running through the airport to make a connecting flight, and I saw something in the distance, my friend. We were flying through the airport. I saw something that reminded me of the goodness of God. I saw something that reminded me of how God does exceedingly more than we could ever ask. It's called a moving walkway. The moving walkway. And then, you know, it's like having the favor of God on your life. It's like this. It's expediting your journey. And the only problem with a moving walkway in airports, okay, with a moving walkway, is that some people on the moving walkway refuse to move. They just kind of stand on both sides of the moving walkway. They create this stagnation for a mechanism that was designed for movement, okay? And we should not bring stagnation or stuckness to something that was designed to move, all right? Thank you for letting me vent this morning. I think my frustration with what's happening specifically online is now, it's not that you're standing. I think my frustration stems from the fact that you brought stagnation onto a mechanism that was created for movement. That's it. That's what it's got to be. My frustration that many of us have brought here is this stagnation and stuckness was actually designed, okay, to be somewhere else. And this thing that we're on, this moving walkway, is supposed to get us further and faster. And anytime you have a, you know, something that was created in a place for movement, you're always going to have frustration. Always going to have frustration when something, take this virus and all that's hitting our nation right now, just hits and now all of a sudden we're stuck. We're moving into spring. We're moving into the busy season of Avalon. You know, let's get the cruise ships lined up here. Let's get the businesses flourishing. Let's get the kids in and out of school and the prom and graduation. College students coming back home to take great jobs. You know, and all of a sudden, boom, we're stuck. No more college classes. No more graduation. School has moved to homeschool. And as a result, people get frustrated. Come on. It's traffic. On the 405. And my friends, I don't mind sitting down for an hour looking out my window and listening to music, okay? If I'm in my house, it's catching a vibe, okay? I don't want to do it in my car. That's why some of us are losing our minds right now in our house. Because you're not created to be stuck. So at any time you have stagnation in a place that was created for movement, you always got frustration. And I'm wondering today if that so many of us are so frustrated with our lives because our lives have been stuck still in this stationary situation when God created us for movement. Could it be possible the reason you're so annoyed by where you are is because your life has become stuck and God created you for movement because you do know that God is a God of movement, right? You know He's always taking you somewhere from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. God's a God of movement. And frustration will always come when you're feeling stagnation in a system that was designed for movement. We were not created to be stuck. With this COVID-19 epidemic, our lives are become stuck, stationary, stagnant. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The steps are ordered because God is the God of movement. Genesis 1:1 tells us the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. God created a melody of movement. It had a cadence and a peace to it. Everything that God created never had the luxury of stagnation. It just didn't, right? Even His personality is seen in creation. Nothing is static. Everything's in flux. It's always moving. Back to Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were given the power to preach from Samaria to Judea and then to the ends of the earth. And they got their start in Jerusalem. So they went to pray. Peter and John are walking, a walking contradiction, so to speak. Peter's much older. John is much younger. They're completely different. Sort of like a gangster and Gandhi going to church together. Perhaps this is the point. The healing of this beggar is the first miracle performed after the creation of this new church that has started when Jesus ascended back into heaven. It's kind of a prototype miracle in which God is trying to show the church how, you know, things move in the earth. And what the culture may call a contradiction, God's kingdom calls a collaboration. What the culture sees as the greatest place of division and separation, the kingdom of God is the greatest place of collaboration. We're often people try to keep us divided by focusing on the contradiction. The real power is our ability to collaborate in spite of the contradictions. Amen? Where we come together and say, I wonder what God would do if we just collaborated more. In the church, the enemy wants us to focus on the contradictions. Our genuine power is our ability to collaborate in spite of the contradictions. It's wonderful that the first miracle performed by the new church is a collaboration between someone with a big heart, okay, John, and then another disciple with a big mouth, Peter. Just perhaps it was John's compassion that noticed the lame beggar, and it took Peter's courage, perhaps, to empower them to heal the beggar. Can you imagine what our disabled friends must have had to deal with in biblical times? Right? No wheelchairs or on ramps. It was the epitome of being stuck. In this passage, we know that the only thing that didn't work with this man was his legs. And yet they also appear to work fine. This one thing affected everything with this man. Think about how just one thing in society is affecting us right now so greatly. When we're stuck on one thing, we tend to cultivate systems of stuckness, and we just accept this as the way of life. This is the way it's going to be. My friends, be careful. This is the point of life. We're supposed to always be changing, always be evolving. Just like creation of itself, we rely on God. What comes our way belongs to Him. We give everything and everyone to Him. We want to live a life that God's ordained for us, what He wants us to be. Every day, people dropped the beggar off at the gate. This is what we read in the text. Not just once a week, but every day. These two people brought this man to the gate every day. It's not discussed often in this passage. However, I'm gonna invite both these guys into this room and to this microphone today. Okay, I am. I'm inviting them, so to speak. We tend to only focus on the beggar, and Peter and John in this passage. That's where we focus. These three guys, kind of what the passage talks about. But every day, these two men will probably take the beggar where he needs to go by the gate beautiful. They probably take a cut of the beggar's money after he's been begging all day. And then they return the man from the gate to his home. Can you imagine the laborious nature of picking up the beggar and returning him every day? Whew, wow. Following weeks and months of this process of dropping off and retrieving this man, and of course getting their cut of the dough, the men had become collaborators of a sick system. At this point, the men that are taking a cut of the beggar's offerings probably don't want the man healed. I'm just saying. Since they probably became beneficiaries of the man's brokenness and his stuckness. Yeah, I'm going there. This is why it's important to check your environment. Listen to me, audience. Check your environment and check who's around you. Whenever you're stuck, make sure that no one is benefiting from your stuckness. Okay? These people come in the form of news that you're watching or a person in your life, something that prevents you from accessing what God has planned for you. Regardless of the situation, thankfully, there will always be a Peter and John willing to pull you out of your stuckness so the truth fulfills your destiny and potential. I love this as I was writing this down. This process of a man being picked up, delivered to the gate to be dropped off, and then returned to his home had been going on, my friends, 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine this routine for 40 years? After 40 years, you're just a robot going through the motions. This might be your job, actually, right now. Get up, go to work, get paid, give the IRS their cut, and then go home. Is this why God created you? No. God came so that you could live life more abundantly. Amen? Yeah, no matter what is going on in this world, you are not created to be stuck. God created you for movement. After 40 years of going through the motions, this man was given the ability to walk. Oh, it's such a great story. After 40 years of this monotonous routine, I'm just going through life, but not living life. One day changed everything. All that you need is one day. If God can get your attention, He can shift the direction of your life. If God can get your attention, He will exceed your expectations. However, God has to get your attention first. All the things we're going through right now, is God trying to get our attention? What do you have to say? I'd say yes. Then stop being stuck. It is crazy that the beggar's greatest miracle is on the other side of his greatest disappointment. Since Peter and John had no money. Sometimes God will say no when you're harboring the wrong dream. Sometimes when we're stuck, we downgrade the dream, you know, our dreams, our desires to fit our reality. But God doesn't want us to do this. He wants us to exceed our expectations. Silver and gold, I don't have. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, see, there's power in His name. Peter's just name dropping. There's potential in His name. Drop this name that is above all names, my friends. You're seeing some adversity in your home right now. It may be tough where you're quarantined. You may be having trouble with homeschooling. You can't visit your family or your elderly parents possibly, and you're worried. Drop this name to give someone a lift. Drop the name that can heal the sick. Drop the name that can open up blind eyes. Drop the name that can turn graves into gardens. Drop the name of Jesus. We need to say Jesus. My friends, let's just say to Jesus, I ask you to reveal to us what our fundamental approach to life is. Show us where it got started back in our story, okay? Show us how deeply I rely on it. And Jesus, I also give you permission to rebuild my personality, my whole approach to life, based on your love. My friends, maybe we need to confess how we wrestle with God. Maybe we just need to say, you know, why don't you just take this disease away immediately? Maybe we struggle with that, especially when so many dear friends and are praying earnest prayers right now and unable to meet with each other, even the elderly relatives you may have. Take it before God. Maybe we struggle with God not doing or seeming not to come through for us. But all the while in the midst of struggle, we know we have to be careful. This is the vulnerable moment. This is where agreements that we can make can seem so reasonable, so inescapable. We got to be careful with our hearts in this very moment when we're struggling deeply. I know I cannot give my heart over to anything. Proverbs 4:23, we read it. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life within you. The spirit of the passage is this. You got to be really careful what you give your heart over to and what you let in your heart in the midst of this struggle going on and in this quarantine. Oh, I know I cannot make agreements with anything. Not discouragement, not unbelief, not striving, not resignation. You'd be so easy to make a subtle agreement down inside, like, why bother praying, right? You find yourself there, prayer doesn't really do anything. My friends, when it comes to crisis or events that really upset us, this I have learned. You can have God, or you can have understanding. Sometimes you can have both, but if you insist on understanding, it often doesn't come. I've learned this through some great teaching with my friends at Ransom Heart. I remember hearing this for the first time, and that when you're waiting for understanding and it doesn't come, sometimes there's a distance that forms between you and God because you're upset and demanding an explanation in order to move on, but the explanation isn't coming, so you withdraw a bit from God and you lose the grace that God is giving. He doesn't explain everything, but he always offers us himself. This is huge. I find it very hard to hear from God when I'm in distress or I'm anxious or under anguish, especially if I'm asking for his explanation. Can you relate? I bet. I think it'd be wise to break those agreements that you might have right now. And I want to help you through this prayer. Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for making agreements with the enemy. And guys, take a moment here and pause this prayer and name those agreements specifically. I want to break this agreement that I have, that I have bought this, that I've believed this, that I've let this sink into my life and it's not been healthy. Name it specifically. And say, forgive me for giving this a hold in my heart. Jesus, I renounce it now. I reject it utterly. I've banished its hold from my heart and my life. Jesus, I ask you to come and minister to me here. I need your spirit and your love to take the place of this agreement that I've made and replace it with healing, replace it with truth, and I thank you for your forgiveness. It feels so soothing to my soul. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today. Stay in the notes this week. Some great scriptures. Maybe you're journaling some things and you come up with some other little things that you've noticed in the scripture that I didn't cover today. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send me an email at the church. You can go to our website, avaloncommunitychurch.org. But thank you to the guys that put this together. Andrew Quintana, thank you for the microphone. And to all of you working behind the scenes, please get involved in small groups yourself. Allow yourself to stay full this week, all right? Not empty. Have a great day.